And it really matters about what song we sing in this life that exemplifies this life of ours. When we look back in Scripture, there are songs that are recorded. And when we understand that songs are a commandment of the Lord, and there's a reason why. Just as it's stated in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, we teach and admonish one another by singing. And there's also the uplifting that is there. There's also that exhortation, that joy that we receive. There is expression that can be given freely by song. And we see it when we look back in the songs that are recorded in Scripture. Moses' song after deliverance. We get a couple of songs in our book from this particular passage in Exodus 15, verse 13. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength. Guided them in thy strength unto the holy habitation. And this is after the deliverance that was recognized by the people of God from the bondage that they were in Egypt. We see also in Numbers 21, verses 17 through 21. And also there's an aspect of this that is recorded in Isaiah, the 12th chapter. This is Israel's song after the digging of the well, where God supplied for them water, life-giving water. And I'll just read Numbers 21, 16 to 17. We get our song, I believe, song number 105, He is in our midst, from this passage. And from thence they went to Beer, that is, to the well whereof the Lord spake unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. And we sing that song, He is in our midst, draw from the springs of salvation, is how that song starts out. Deuteronomy 31st chapter, verse 19 through 22, is a song that God gave against Israel. And it was going to be a reminder to them from that point forward of their sin, and them not responding to the Lord, to His commandments and what He had given to them. And He said, this would be a witness against you. And that song He taught to Moses, and Moses was to teach it to the people. And then in Judges, the 5th chapter, we have the song of Deborah and Barak after overcoming the Canaanites by the power of God. And the song that they gave with exaltation to God, giving Him honor and glory and praise for the power that He showed forth in defeating the enemy. 2 Samuel, the 22nd chapter, we have the first recorded song of David. There, of course, were many more that were to follow after that, but we recognize that from our song number 15 in our book, I Will Call Upon the Lord. And David says, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. And then going down to verse 47, more words of that particular song. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. And so we see these songs sang. And then in Romans 15, chapter, verse 9 through 10, we're now singing a song that is exemplary of our life. And it is recorded for us in Romans, but in reference back to things that were stated in the Old Testament. And there in Romans 15, chapter, beginning verse 9, and for the nations to glorify God for mercy, even as it has been written. Verse 9 is a quote from Psalm 18, verse 49. Because of this, I will confess to you in the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. Verse 10 is from the song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32nd chapter, in verse 43. And again he says, rejoice nations, or Gentiles, with his people. And then in verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all the nations, and praise him, all the peoples, from the 117th Psalm in verse 1. And then in verse 12, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall be, and his rising up to rule the nations on him. Nations will hope. Isaiah 11 and verse 10. We see songs throughout the record of the Bible. Songs that uplift, songs that warn, songs that teach, songs that give us joy, songs that make us think. And we sing those songs. But really, we live a life as a song. And so as we look at it, the song, our life before God, and I'm not talking about this particular song, but I'm talking about what is presented. And that is, God sets the words and He sets the melody for which we should live our life by, the song of our life. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, verse 23. O Lord, I know that is not within man, is not in man that walks to direct his steps. That is the preface of the life song that we sing, this life that we live, and the song, so to speak, and that in quotation marks, of the life that we live, that song that we sing as this life. That God makes the determination. God is in control. I don't know how to walk except it be for God. I don't know what to do except it be for God guides me. And so we want to look at, first of all, how we sing the song. That is the life song that each and every one of us live. Because we're making declaration in our life day in and day out. And there's aspects I want to take from actual written music in connection with this. First of all, you'll see sometimes the small case P twice. P, P. That's pianissimo. That means very soft. And when we get to that point of the song, we'll get very quiet. But we're making this application from now Habakkuk, the second chapter in verse 20. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. And we remember how this was applied even in Job's life. You know, there were so many that were giving advice to Job, and Job even had his own thoughts, his own ideas on his situation, how he came into the situation where he was covered with head from head to toe with boils, and there was really accusation that he was making against God, and he was saying, I've done nothing wrong, and God is punishing me even though I've done nothing wrong, and that was not the case. And then the friends that came to him and were saying, Job, you're just stubborn, you're rebellious. If you would recognize that you have sinned, because this is the only way this has come upon you, in that you have sinned, if you would recognize that and you would make confession of that, God would forgive you. Because never a man that was righteous has had the troubles that you have had. And we remember finally God speaks. After all the great wisdom of these four men, God speaks. And you remember in the 40th chapter of Job, Job listens to God for a period of time and then he says, I have spoke once and I will not speak again. I spoke twice, but I will go no further. I will lay my hand over my mouth. And when we have that attitude in our life song of, it's not what I want, it's not what I think, but rather I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to listen to what God has to say because He is in His holy temple. He is authoritative. He directs us in this life. We show them the proper respect for authority in this life song that we sing day in and day out. We also show at times absolute confidence of God. And this should really be continual. And we see it with the mark that we find in our songs with that small case F, which is forte. It means get louder. And we recognize that in songs when we run across that mark, that at that point there's something to get loud about. It's not just singing louder just to hear our own words, but rather there's an emphasis made upon the context, the meaning of the scripture. And I think back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verses 5 through 6. Let your way of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, and this is with forte, getting loud, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We live the life song where we say, God is on my side. He will take care of me. He is the nurturer. He is my father. He is my protector. And we exemplify that in our life. And it speaks loudly by the way that we act. It speaks loudly by the decisions that we make. It speaks loudly to other people that may want to turn us in a way that is opposed to God. But we say, no, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. And then there's to be that reverent awe. And that's the double F, the fortissimo. Even louder than before. Very loud. And I think that we see that when we look over in John, the 20th chapter, in verse 28, in the life of a man, and that man's name was Thomas. And you remember after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that Jesus had appeared to the 11, except Thomas was not there. And Thomas said, I will not believe that He has come forth from the grave, except I thrust my fist into His side and I feel the nail prints in His hands. And then shortly after that, Jesus comes and stands before him, said, Thomas, put your finger into my hand, feel the nail prints, put your fist into my side. And this is what he says, my Lord and my God. And really, that is to be something that is to be seen in our life song all the time. Well, we recognize the Savior as my Lord and my God. Others would have me to follow their thoughts, their ideas. I might even want to follow my own thoughts and my ideas. But I will say, my Lord and my God, just as Thomas did. And remember what Jesus said to Thomas after that. He said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. Blessed are those that believe and have not seen. They make that statement in their life song, my Lord and my God. And that's the way that we are to be in our life song. But there's also an aspect of growth in our life song. That we're not stagnant, we don't stay in one place, but we grow continually as a child of God. And it is with the mark that we find in our songbooks, the crescendo, a gradual increasing in volume. And it reminds me of 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 5 through 8. And besides this, giving all diligence, supplement or add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you where you are neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The life song that we sing shows forth that we're not stagnant, we're not complacent, but we're ever growing. And if it's not that, well, then we realize really we're dead. And so it's a crescendo in the Christian life as time goes on, ever growing, ever increasing in the knowledge and love of God. And that's to be seen in this life song that we live. And then being mindful of where we began. You know, I think that many times that's a problem for some Christians. They forget where they started. And we see in our song books that capital D period, capital C period, which is da capo. That means go back to the top. Start again at the beginning. And we see that, I think, in Hebrews, the third chapter, in verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, and here is the condition. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What child of God becomes a child of God? What person becomes a child of God knowing everything that the Lord would have them to do? Well, I'm just totally mature on every aspect and nuance of living the Christian life. There's nothing that I need to learn anymore. No. We start out with one thing, and I think it's expressed here in Hebrews, the third chapter, in verse 14. We start out with nothing more than trust. Lord, I just trust in you. That's the beginning confidence of the Christian life. But it is to be seen throughout the Christian life where we trust in the Lord. Lord, I may not understand everything, but I understand your word. I don't know why you would have me to do this, but I will do it because you say so. Because I trust you. I trust you. And so sometimes we just need to go back to the top in living our Christian life. We need just to go back to the basic of trust. And that's to be seen in our life song. But also that remaining constant. And we see that with the words in songbooks, al fine, that is to the end. And I think of this from Hebrews, the sixth chapter, verse 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope, unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Paul made a statement to those of Galatia in Galatians, the sixth chapter, verse 9. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we think about it is the constant day in and day out living of God's life. And I'll tell you, if we're not focused properly in our life song, we're going to forget what it is that we are to be doing. And not only that, we might even grow weary in serving the Lord. But if we keep the focus of spirituality, if we keep the focus of remaining constant to the end, each day will be fresh and new and a pleasure in serving our God, looking to the end, that reward that is there for us. Now, I'm going to ask you, what life song will you sing? If you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you, would you sing Redeemed because you recognize that through Christ Jesus you will be redeemed? Will you, from the 106th Psalm in verse 10, seeing this thought in your life. So he saved them from the hand of the foe and redeemed them from the power of the enemy. There is an enemy that is out there if you're not a child of God, and he wants to keep you that way, not being a child of God. Will you today start singing the life song, because you render obedience unto God? I'm redeemed. Redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Will you also sing Lamb of God? Song number 155. Would you sing that, recognizing that that sacrifice has been made for you? John, after he had baptized Jesus, sees him the next day. And as he's coming toward him, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." Let us sing these two songs.
How I love to proclaim, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed is so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, 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 His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who loving me guarded my footsteps and given me songs in the night.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent Him from your side to walk upon this guilty Son and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love
Christian, will you recognize that you need to be redeemed? And the reason being is that you're in sin. And that redemption has already been paid for by the sacrifice of Christ Jesus upon the cross, the Lamb of God that came and shed His blood for us. Will you start singing these songs today in your life? I'm talking about responding to the gospel call. And start that life of looking unto God, no longer in sin, no longer in that bondage, but rather purchased possession of God, forgiven, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. If you are Christian, let me ask you if you are singing this. Are you singing, "I will call upon the Lord," from Psalm the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 3. It's our song number 15. "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler," that is shield, "and the horn of my salvation and my tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies." I think that sometimes Christians get the idea, I can just take care of things on my own. I'll figure this out. I'll work it out. I'll get it done. But really, we need help from the Lord. Really, we need this attitude in our life song, "I will call upon the Lord because He is there for me. He is my shield. He will help to take care of things." And the reason being is that He knows best. He knows best. We may have it all worked out in our minds, and usually what we have worked in our minds don't usually work well. But what God has determined for us, that always works well. Will we also sing, "We will glorify the King of Kings"? 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 13 through 16. "I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is the testimony before Pontius Pilate. They made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He will display at the proper time. He who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Is this our attitude in our life song? "I will glorify the King of Kings," or are possessions more important? Or are relationships more important rather than relationship with God and with His Son, Christ Jesus, and with brethren? I ask you, if you're a Christian, are you singing these songs in your life song today? Let's sing these two songs.
Oh,
As Christians, do we call upon the Lord? Do we trust in ourselves? As Christians, do we really give glory to God? As a preacher, am I giving glory to God whenever I stand before you, or am I standing before you for you to say, "Oh, what a sermon, oh, what a preacher"? No, it's, "Oh, what a Savior." The glory of God. But are you doing that in your life song? Is that what we are doing? We're going to sing a closing song now, an invitation song. And I've changed the words to this, and it's going to be up on the board. And I want us to think about it, that if we are not a Christian, that we've come to realization of the fact that we need to be redeemed, and it is the Lamb of God that has redeemed us by His shed blood. Or that we are a Christian, and maybe our life song is not what it has been, but we're going to get back in tune. We're going to tune our lips to praise our God and to give glory to His name. We're going to sing what I have on the board from song number 771, which is, "Heaven will surely be worth it all," but I want us to sing it from the standpoint of, we're there. We're in heaven. It's not something that is going to take place, but we recognize, even while here on this earth, we've never seen the God, we've never seen Christ Jesus before, we've never witnessed them, we don't really know what heaven is like, but everything that's been explained to us, and all that has been done for us, can allow us to say, heaven is surely worth it all. If you are not a child of God, will you today become one? Will you come forward during the singing of this song? Will you give your life to God and start singing that life song? If you are a child of God, but you've not been singing the proper life song, it's all been about yourself, about your own power, your own wisdom, come back to the Lord, trust in Him, and glorify His name. This is our song of encouragement. Won't you come? We see that an anonymous person wrote these words: "Heaven will be worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last." And I submit to you Matthew 5 and the first part of verse 12. "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." Stand with us now as we sing this song.
Often I fear on my way.
Surely worth it.
Stephen Norman talked to me at the beginning of the day today when he came into the building and said he had a problem that he would be coming forward. Stephen tells me that he had lost his job. It was a sudden thing, kind of unaware. And he wants to ask prayers from all of you. Remember him in your prayers, that things will work out for him. And of course, we want to pray at this time on his behalf. He's hoping that he will continue to remain strong and that this will not get him down. He's had a wonderful lesson to listen to this morning about, and also the study we have with Solomon, talking about this life. If we think the toiling of this life is important and what we're going to gain, Solomon said it didn't work out that way. But serving God was the most important thing, as we see at the end of the study on, you know, chapter 12. But I can relate to Stephen. I've lost my job twice. I thought the world was coming to an end when that happened, because here I am, a provider. And all of a sudden, there was not going to be that provisions anymore. In both cases, I had a plan. Of course, I knew ahead of time I was going to lose my job. But I had a plan. I remember the first time we cut the electricity off, raised all the windows, let the wind blow through the house. Second time, I was putting up a clothesline pole so I wouldn't have to mend the dryer. But I had a plan, and that's what I think God wants us to do when these difficult times come, is we're going to have to continue to do all that we can. God's not going to do it all, but He will provide. It's kind of like the birds. He says the birds will be fed. It's there as long as they'll get out and scratch for it. And I know that Stephen is a hard worker. I'll vouch for him to anybody that wants to have a reference, because he is a worker. He's been faithful here. He's been helping others here. He's a strength to me. And I think he's a strength to all of you. So pray for him that things will go well. In my case, on both occasions, things got better. After I lost my job, it got better. So I feel that it'll get better for Stephen also. Bow with me now as we pray on his behalf. Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful that we could come and be together today and worship to you. We hope that the things we have said have been according to your will. We hope that it has encouraged us and caused us to realize that we need to sing a song every day, realizing how much you blessed us, what you've done for us, the giving of your Son, and all the things you give us in this life. And at this time, we're mindful of Stephen, who has lost a job. But we realize, Father, that he will overcome this, that he will remain strong and in duty to you, and that you will bless him for it. Pray that he will rely upon each of us, that if there's things we can do him, for him, that he will ask us, and we will gladly do what we can. And we pray, Father, that we will all be mindful of doing your will, and that we will strive with everything we can to please you. We ask that you help him, that you'll help us all. For we want to be with you in heaven when this world's over. We know you gave your Son that we may have that hope. And it's in his name we pray at this time. Amen.
Amen.